Hello, beautiful soul. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am sharing just a little short intro here to precede the official intro for the episode, just to let you know that this episode was part of the series of the Heartwork podcast, which was a dabble for me in my manifesting generator style, which I tried out for a little bit of time in 2021. And I realized very soon, once I had sort of delved into this podcast, that actually I was really feeling called to rekindle and reconnect to Unraveling, which has been my podcast for several years, and that the work of Unraveling is not done. So I just wanted to let you know that the following episode is branded as the Heartwork podcast, but it is now coming under Unraveling. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, lovely soul. Welcome to the Heartwork podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you. As we enter into a new paradigm timeline in our evolution as human beings on this planet, the Heartwork podcast has been created to support and share wisdom from the change makers who are devoting their lifetime to holding others through this process. This is a podcast for curious souls who are here to tune in to a different frequency of what it looks like, and most importantly, what it feels like to run a soul and heart-centered business in the modern age. Enriched with information, divine downloads, and soul wisdom to support and guide you on your path, the Heartwork podcast is a space where you can listen and receive activations from the words that are shared and tune into a more aligned, authentic, and expansive way of running a business. It is time to leave behind the outdated ways of marketing, pushing and forcing our way to society's old definitions of success, and lean into experimenting and exploring a new way to bring our heart's work to life using human-centered approaches and an alchemy of heart, soul, and sacred strategy to work in a way that feels nourishing, exciting, and fulfilling on a deep and meaningful level. You can expect to receive learnings and wisdom I have learned on my own journey in business, as well as listen to conversations with others who are walking this path alongside us. This is our time, Heartworkers. This is our time. Hi everyone, this is episode 2 of the Heartwork podcast. Today I am joined by Helen Hardware, who is a soulful confidence coach. And this conversation went in so many beautiful directions. I'm really excited for you to dive in. So Helen is the soulful confidence coach and helps spiritual entrepreneurs to have the confidence to be visible online by clearing their mindset blocks so that they feel unstoppable. Helen helps her clients to find the root cause of their visibility fears, both in this life and past lives, and then connect to their higher self to unleash their natural confidence and courage to get visible as their authentic self and make their unique impact on the world. I absolutely love this conversation. We could have talked for so long. We discuss lots and lots around belief systems and Helen's hypnotherapy and how that can really help support you in your business growth, and how things like past lives can play a role in the way we show up in our business, how business is this incredible mirror into our own healing, and how actually when we start to unpick and unravel some of these things, we really can become unstoppable. So we talk lots about what it is to be in a soulful, heart-working business and how we can support ourselves as we navigate the fear of what might be on the other side of us taking actions. I am going to let the episode speak for itself, but if you have any questions or want to delve into it in any further way, then I really encourage you to get in touch with Helen and check out her website, check out all her details, and prepare yourself just to be in this episode. Like, I felt it was very expansive for myself and really helped me see how there are ways that I can refine and become even more magnetic and unstoppable in my business, and I really hope that you receive the same activations. So thank you so much to Helen for joining us, and here we go to the show. Hi, Helen. Welcome so much to the Heartwork podcast. I'm so excited that you are the first guest on this new, it doesn't feel new, but it is the new rebirthed podcast that I'm creating. I would love to start by introducing you, or you introducing you, to our audience by just sharing a little bit about who you are today, what your heart work is, and the journey that has brought you to that heart work.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm very honored to be your first guest. So I'm Helen Hardware. I'm a soulful confidence coach, and I help spiritual entrepreneurs to believe at a soul level that they're good enough so they can unleash the confidence and courage to get out there, get visible, and create the business that they're dreaming of and make a unique impact on the world. So yeah, that's who I am and what I do. What does that really mean? Well, I'm a spiritual hypnotherapist and confidence coach. So when I was setting up my first business, I knew it was a soul-led business. I actually wanted to teach yoga online when I first qualified as a yoga teacher. And I signed up for a yoga marketing course. And I hit this block. I didn't know what a block was, but it was like I hit this invisible wall. I was just really petrified about what other people would think. What if I failed? I remember even thinking about what if I was successful and I didn't have any time to myself anymore, because I would be still working and running this business alongside each other. And all these things just kept me trapped. And I just gave up on this dream because I couldn't seem to push past it. And then that little tug about having a business, a spiritually led business, just would not go away. And a couple of years later, I retrained as a hypnotherapist and I loved it. I was so excited. But as soon as it came to putting it out there and publicizing myself and telling people who I was and what I did and saying that I was good at it, which I was and am, I hit all those same fears and I just didn't know what was going on. And so it took a long time for me to strip away the layers, to go deep inside and uncover all the fears, all the self-limiting beliefs, all the past life blocks that were creating this fear and resistance to doing it in this life. And when I did, when I finally unleashed this confidence within myself, I got really angry all the time that I'd wasted believing that I wasn't good enough. And angry at the society that tells us that we're not good enough just so we can buy the next gadget. And I just didn't want other people to feel like that. I really got excited about, well, what if all spiritual entrepreneurs knew that it was safe to put themselves out there, and what a difference we could make to the world, and how we can raise the vibration of the planet and just make the world a happier, kinder, more generous place to live. So yeah, that's what my heart work is. And that's what drove me to do what I do today.
I love that. And what really stood out to me, well, I was thinking as you were saying, it was like you were saying, like you had this tug of like, I don't know, I feel it like in my heart, but also in my gut. How do you experience that tug? You know, what is it? What's that kind of indicator? Because I think we often like feel it for a split second, and then like this, I've noticed this in myself recently actually, still the like that I get that tug, and then instantly these words, these doubtful words, these things like this, these stories come in and go like, oh no, you can't do that because of this, 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 and this. How would you describe that tug and that kind of soul calling?
I think it feels like a fish hook behind my solar plexus. Mm, I think that if I had to kind of come up with a description, it literally feels like somebody's stuck their finger into my solar plexus and are pulling me along in a particular direction. And a part of me used to find that really frustrating, in that it felt like I didn't have any free will, and that maybe it was something that I didn't want to do or wasn't ready to do. But I think it is about recognizing those feelings and those tugs, whatever that looks like or feels like for you. But it's I think it's Mel Robbins that talks about the 5-second rule, where you have that flash of inspiration or that tug or that knowing of doing something, and you've got 5 seconds to take action before those negative thoughts come in. So it is about, firstly, recognizing what your sign is. What is it that's inspiring you? What's pulling you? What's drawing you? But then being able to recognize the negative thoughts when they pop in. What are they actually trying to do for you? Because they're trying to help you in some way. And if you can understand how they're trying to help you, that can really help you to deal with it and resolve it. But there's also that window as well. If you can take a tiny action straight away, even if it is just to write it down on paper before you talk yourself out of it, that's enough just to get you moving forwards with it.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, and 5 seconds is not very long, is it? No. And I physically felt this recently. I was sitting by the lake and I was like, so in alignment, like the sun was glistening. I was on my own. I just had this moment and this little ping came in and I was like, oh, I'd love to do that. And then so quickly there was like 10 reasons why not to do it. And then since then I've been like, oh, maybe no, it's, and I just find it fascinating how quickly those voices of self-doubt and judgment like can come in and start and really impact. So how, okay, there's so many questions. How do you even start to, because I consider myself someone who's been in business quite a long time. I don't feel like I'm held back by fear on some levels, but I know on a subconscious level I am. So how do you even start to unravel all of that stuff? That's probably a very big question.
I think, well, the first thing is, like you said, it's in your unconscious mind. So we're often not consciously aware that it's happening. So the only way really, there's sort of two ways I would say you can find that unconsciously. One is by going into the unconscious mind. So whether that's meditation or hypnosis, working with your guides or whatever that looks like for you. But secondly, if that's, that can be a step too far, that can be too difficult to even get through that door. Look at your actions. What's your feelings? What feelings and emotions are coming up? And what actions are you taking or not taking? So that's a really important stage, is of becoming self-aware and just noticing what's happening inside your body, asking yourself, what is it I'm feeling right now? Especially if you're procrastinating. That's the biggest action to be looking out for. And procrastination shows up in so many different forms. It might be that you can't start working until you've cleaned the house or the kitchen or whatever it is. Or it might be that you just need to finish that next training course or that next book before you can do something. I always think of, a lot of my clients talk about like a quantum leap type process. And I don't mean that on a spiritual level. I mean it like the 80s TV program. You know, this constant leap that will be the leap that takes you home. Well, we do this habit of doing more and more trainings, hoping that the next training is going to be the one that makes us feel like we're good enough and we know what we're going to do. So all the time it's looking for your behaviors, looking at where you are procrastinating, and then asking yourself, what is it I'm feeling in this moment? And that can be a gateway through then to starting to meditate and become more aware of, when you know what your actions are and you can trace back to your feelings, then you can start to strip away what you believe about yourself. If you go straight in at the beliefs, if you've not done a lot of personal development work, it can be really hard. And I remember the first time I worked with a coach, I'd just started on my personal development journey. I was probably about 2 years in, but I'd done a lot of spiritual growth and was ready to work on personal growth. And I had no idea what she meant when she was like, well, what do you believe about yourself that's causing you to do that? I don't know. You tell me. And of course they can't. So but we can work out our beliefs by working backwards. So start off with behaviors and actions, then go back to the feelings and emotions. And then when you can understand your feelings and emotions, we can unpick and say, well, what is it that I believe about myself or this situation that's causing me to behave in that way?
I love that. So it's like shining that light on the reasons, but you can't just get to that without doing the other bit. So like just really, really being, I think that self-awareness, I always say, like, awareness, I think it's awareness precedes change. I don't know where someone said that to me once, and it really lands. Like every time I become aware of something, so, you know, using this example of that like voice of self-doubt, actually until then I wasn't as aware that that was coming in so often. And I was like, that's really interesting. So that gives me the awareness to then continue to unpick it. But I think there's this desire to like suddenly fix something really quickly. Or in the, you know, in the coaching industry, unfortunately, often we're like deemed as broken, or we're used like these, you know, we're then told like if we've got a mindset block, it's because there's something wrong with us and we need to go back and like do all this digging. And sometimes I do agree, you know, we do need to do that compassionately sometimes to highlight where we need to grow and to evolve. But how would you suggest someone who has got to that point of like noticing and seeing and being aware of that pattern or that behavior, but then struggles to then, because I think I see this a lot, is like they struggle, and I see this in myself as well, struggles to then make the consistent lasting change. Because I know I can make change quickly, and but it's not, it's like it doesn't embed fully. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly why I work at an unconscious level or a subconscious level. Those two words, you'll hear me use the subconscious and unconscious interchangeably. They're basically the same thing. But different forms of hypnotherapy call them different names. But yeah, that's exactly how I got into doing the hypnosis, because I was trying to become more self-aware and I was working on these blocks, but I couldn't get the shifts. It was okay saying, well, okay, I have a belief that I'm not good enough, but so what could I do about it? And I found that was really challenging. And it was only when I found hypnotherapy and found, we did do the digging, but like you say, in a very compassionate way, and understood the root cause of how I'd created that belief in the first place, what experiences I'd had in my formative years that had led me to generate this belief about myself. And once you then can understand it at that level, then you can start to rewire it at that unconscious, subconscious level as well. And it's relatively fast because you're doing it at that level. I do think that, you know, hypnotherapy it's something that still a lot of people are scared of because they've seen Paul McKenna on TV or whatever. And they, you know, the biggest question I get is, are you going to make me quack like a duck? No, it doesn't work like that. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what hypnosis is. And I remember the first time I had hypnosis, I came away from there going, oh, I wasn't hypnotized, blah, blah, blah. But actually something that we'd done for over an hour, I thought had taken 10 minutes. So if I look back now, I recognize that I definitely had been in hypnosis, but I'd expected my conscious mind to pack its bags, clear off down the road for an hour. And, you know, this would all be done like being under an anesthetic. And that's not how it works at all. Your conscious mind is still there. And it can be strange when stuff is popping into your conscious mind from your unconscious when you're in trance and go, well, that doesn't make sense, or that's a bit odd. And you just have to learn that when we're in hypnosis, it opens a cat flap from the unconscious into the conscious. It doesn't always make sense, and that's okay. And a good hypnotherapist has got the tools and techniques to help you understand and interpret things from your past so that you can then release it with compassion, rewire your mind. Because, the biggest moment for me was the moment I realized that just because we believe something doesn't mean it's true. And that was such a light bulb moment that I'd hung on to these beliefs all my life because they defined me. And suddenly realizing that just because I believed them, that they weren't set in stone and I could change it, was really liberating. But when you do that rewiring direct into the subconscious level, that's when change can happen a lot quicker.
I love that. What would you say are the most common, and I'm sure there's lots of them, but particularly in business, when you're, no matter where you're at, I think on the path in business, and in particularly, we're talking to people that are in a heartfelt business and want to lead through like this soul-led connection rather than necessarily too much in their head. But what are the most common beliefs that people are holding on to that will prevent them from really flourishing in their work?
So the number one belief that holds us back is that we're not good enough, or that we're not enough just as we are. And that is, I mean, that's an epidemic. You know, I know we're talking at the end of the pandemic, but that in itself is an epidemic. So many of us believe that we're not enough. And I did myself. And I actually got messages from Spirit telling me that I was enough several times. And I didn't listen until it sort of beat me around the back of the head and made me pay attention. But that is the number one belief. I think the other things that I see with my clients is it's not safe to have a voice, or nobody wants to listen to me. So speaking out and talking about what you do can be really, really challenging. Another one that I see quite regularly is success is not available to me, or feeling that we don't deserve success. So if you've got a belief around that, that tends to show up with self-sabotage. If you get some results, it's highly likely, if you don't feel worthy of success or that it's not available to you, you will find a way to subconsciously self-sabotage, whether that is by not returning client emails or not doing social media or just finding something to hide behind. There's lots of different ways that we can self-sabotage. It might simply be that if you've got a speaking gig lined up, you suddenly wake up with laryngitis. That can still be a form of self-sabotage. There's so many different ways that we can do it.
Yeah, and when you were saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, tick, tick, tick. I definitely have done a lot of work on those things, but I know that they still play a part in how I show up in business. Definitely all of them. And that's just me being honest.
I think we all do, and I think it's natural, but the question is going to be, do you let it hold you back? Do you let it stop you, or do you, you know, to steal the phrase, feel the fear and do it anyway?
Yeah. And that's a funny old phrase, isn't it? Because I'm really against like that, like push, force, hustle mentality. But at the same time, I think fear is a really big teacher. And if we try and just like push it away, I think we can learn through feeling that fear and feeling that and being aware of, okay, I'm scared. Why am I scared? Like, I think it can be really, but then I'm not going, like, we also then need to provide new evidence to ourselves that actually we can do this and we will be okay. But there's a fine line, isn't there? How do you navigate that?
I think that's a really great question. So for me, the thing that really gets my goat is when coaches say, just take action. Confidence comes from taking action. Yeah, it does. But we're not talking about confidence, really. What we're really talking about is self-esteem. Confidence is a belief in our ability to do something. So if you need more confidence around sending out, I don't know, emails, that was something that when I first started used to really trigger me, sending out emails to my mailing list. If you do it and you take the action and you find out that actually you can write the email, you can press send, you get confidence in your ability to write the email. But underneath it all is a belief of whether you're good enough to have written the email and to be seen and to be visible by taking that action. And you get more confidence sending the emails, but it doesn't deal with that underlying issue of not feeling good enough. And that's really what I do with my clients. Although I say I'm a soulful confidence coach, it's not about confidence. Confidence is a word that we misuse, and I'm as guilty of it because I use that in my branding. But really, it's about that self-esteem. It's how you value yourself and that you know that you're good enough at a soul level, so that you can then take that action and say, okay, yeah, I recognize that makes me feel uncomfortable and I'm okay with that. It's not about pushing through it. It's about observing it, acknowledging it, and then releasing it. And that's so much more powerful than trying to, that push that you were talking about and that force of trying to just hit something like a battering ram. We just tend to ricochet off the back of it and feel worse about ourselves.
Yeah, and I see in myself, one of the things I've done a lot of work on is around nervous system support and looking at how I'm very good at taking action. Like I would say confidence isn't the issue. Like I can make shit happen. But what happens to me is that I tend to like just bulldoze through the fear and just do it and be like, I can do this. I can make myself do these things. But then what happens is on the other side, the self-esteem or the fear or the, perhaps, I mean, I don't know if even the word trauma is the right word to use, but some like an experience is still there. And it then like, it kind of exhausts me and it completely depletes me because I've actually had to be in this state of almost like fight mode, constant to get this to happen. And then I end up exhausted, scared, and then retreating back. And then so the progress doesn't happen. So that's one of the things I really noticed. And over the last couple of years, I've like really dug much deeper into that. And like, how can we create this energetically sustainable way of being in business that is like, we can stretch, we can grow, we can evolve, but without overwhelming ourselves so much that we end up retreating completely and kind of being back to square one, or even worse than square one, exhausted and burnt out. Does that resonate in any way?
It really does. And you just described how I was in my corporate career. So I definitely was much more about the push and just pushing through the fear, doing it, showing up, taking the action. But so that when you talk about the fight, flight and freeze, when it came to doing my business, I was in the freeze category. Mm. And I couldn't understand it. You know, I'd been able to push and take that action. And yet there I was, just completely frozen, feeling like a rabbit in the headlights, thinking, why am I feeling this way? You know, this isn't me. I've been able to do it. So I think it is really important to recognize that just because we respond one way in one environment, we don't always respond the same way. It might be that something triggers something deep inside of us. And it's interesting that you said, I'm not sure if trauma is the right word. We talk a lot about, well, I talk about trauma with a capital T and trauma with a small t. So the capital T is the stuff that we generally think of as trauma, the really horrendous stuff that nobody should have to go through. I'm talking about abuse and neglect and assault, those types of things. And then there's the small trauma, the stuff which, when we look at it with an adult eye, is completely inconsequential. And yet, when we experienced that in our formative years, it had some kind of big impact on us. And an example of that is in my journey, coming back to the emails, I was just getting through my fear of sending emails, and I had somebody came to me and said, where did you get my email address from? And of course, I'd done all the right things, but it triggered the perfectionist in me. So I then went through and thought, well, okay, let's find the root cause of why am I feeling like I've got to be perfect. And I regressed myself back to childhood and realized that a six-year-old little girl had made this belief that she had to be perfect because all of her families around her were splitting up and she'd got to be perfect so that her family didn't split up. And it, you know, when we look at that, that's, you know, from my parents' perspective, they had a very happy marriage, still do. There was no way that that little girl, if you look at it as an adult, didn't feel loved or protected. And yet, at some point along that journey, about the age of six, I'd made that belief that I got to be perfect for it. I had no idea that that was there. Now, you know, that's what I would call trauma with a small t. There was no big event that triggered something in my life, but things were happening around me that had an impact on me and made me feel that way.
I love this conversation because I feel that there's so much out there that's like, you take these action steps, this is going to get you to where you need to be. And it's all done, like, you know, if you then, you know, if you take the steps and they don't work, then that's on you, you know, like that's your issue. You've got a block, or you've got something wrong with you. Like, you need to do harder work, or you just need to be more hustly, you know, whatever it is. But I just think that when you go into business, like, it is the biggest self-development journey you could probably ever do, because it mirrors every part of you, and you would never expect it. Like, when you first think, oh, I'm going to go and run my own business, generally speaking, you do not expect to be like face first with all of your stuff. It wouldn't enter your mind that like things that happen in your business could possibly be reflected of your childhood, but of course they are. And I think that there's such a disconnect between the two, but when we start to realize that, like, we can actually use our businesses as like these incredible vehicles for transformation and for living in this incredible aligned way. And not just when it comes to work, but in terms of what that opens up for our family life and our personal lives and just our whole way of being. So I just love that. Yeah, I just love that you talked about that, because it just made me feel really like excited for the journey and the continual journey. You know, I think sometimes you do face those little doubts and those little questions, like, should I, or should I just go back to working, or should I go back to being freelance, or whatever it is. Like, those are things that come up for me, you know, often. And then I'm like, no, because I've chosen this way, because I'm here to do this. Much as it's challenging, but it's also really transformative. I don't know, that just felt compelled to share that.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. And it really does bring up those, any insecurities are going to be magnified as soon as you start your business, because especially with what we're talking about as a personal brand business, we're selling a part of ourselves. And I see it a lot with my clients, and it's something I've had to deal with myself, is not taking a no as a personal rejection. And that's a very primitive part of our makeup. You know, we've got this part of our limbic brain, which is one of the earliest, they call it the lizard brain. It's one of the first bits of our biology to develop, where we have to be accepted by the tribe, because if we weren't as cavemen, then it was really hard to survive. And we, you know, we didn't have anyone to take care of us if we were sick or make sure we had enough food. So we've got this need to be accepted by society. But we live in a world where, you know, your tribe is online somewhere. And if the people around you don't get you, don't accept you, it's much easier to find the right tribe.
Mm. Yeah, your community is definitely, like, having that community around you can really, I think even in that in itself can be transformational, because you don't feel like you're doing it alone. You feel like you've got other people that are on similar wavelength to you. So it's, yeah, that to me has been absolutely crucial. I don't think I'd still be in doing this work. I mean, my business before was different, because I was doing PR marketing for other people. And it's a bit, you know, it's similar to being in a corporate job, really, because it was my, like, I was doing the work, but it wasn't like heart work. It wasn't my work. And so as soon I found, a bit like you said, I found when I went into doing my heart work, I was like, hang on, I can do this with my eyes closed. Like, I know how to market. I know how to write PR. I know how to do social media. I know all of this stuff. But yet, why is it so hard? Why does it feel so hard? And I think that can really make people lose faith in it very early on, and feel like they're not cut out for doing soulful entrepreneurial work, which, you know, we're not all designed to do the same thing. So absolutely, completely get that. But I feel like if people knew that, like, had a bit more awareness of what to expect from the healing level, I suppose, then they might, you know, find different types of support. Like, it might not be a strategy coach to tell them how to get their marketing funnel in place. It might be actually like, actually the work I need to do is with someone like you to unpick these beliefs before I even think about building a website. Because imagine what the difference would be when you're building a website having done this work versus not doing this work.
Yeah, totally. And I think I had to do the work to be able to do my website. I remember quite early on trying to work with a copywriter and not being able to really explain what I did, because I wasn't fully aligned with it and I wasn't far enough along in my own journey. I couldn't describe what I did or what made me unique. So I think it is the part that's really overlooked. You know, people talk about mindset, but it is about going deep within. Mindset's not something that you churn out simply by, you know, following a journal for 28 days or something. Now, I'm not saying change can't happen in 28 days, because it can, but I think it is about going deep inside. And there is a lot of resistance to doing that. And I know I certainly felt it in the past, but you don't know what you're going to discover when you do that deep internal work, and you might find out things about yourself that you don't like, and that can be scary, but it's also your opportunity to change it.
I know you do a lot with past life regression. Can you just explain how past lives can impact us in business? Like, what does that look like? Can you explain more on that?
Yeah, so the reason that I got into doing the past life work was sort of twofold. Number one, I started having clients that spontaneously regress back to past lives. And I was hypnotizing myself one day and found myself back in some past lives and thought, blimey, what's happening here? This is weird. So I wanted to be able to support people when that happened. But I also started to find that you had clients who would get great shifts, and then they'd have an up level in their life and their business and meet all the same blocks again. And I was experiencing that myself and thought there's got to be something more to it. And I tried having multiple hypnotherapy sessions on the same block at different levels, but wasn't uncovering any new stuff and didn't seem to be able to shift it. And it was only then, when I started to do past life work, that I really found that I could find that root that was buried long, long, long ago and release it and let it go. So that's when I started to bring that into client work specifically. So the biggest thing that I see with past life work is, especially for those of us who are spiritual entrepreneurs, is witch wounds. It's where we've had an experience in a past life where we've been persecuted. Now, it's not necessarily about being a witch. It's about maybe you were persecuted for being a witch. You might have been a midwife or a healer, a herbalist, any of those types of things. But generally, just persecuted for doing something in relation to making a living can be enough to do it. It can also be, you know, being rejected by our communities, or doing something in a past life that's led to some karma that's influencing us today. So there's lots of different ways that past lives can affect us. And the way I like to work with clients is we heal this life first, because it really is important to be able to deal with the stuff that's come up in childhood first. And then when we've done that, we go back to past lives. And we take it step by step by step. So we go back through the childhood, through being in the womb, and then through back to past lives. And we really look at the past life. We explore who you were, what you did, who the key people in that life were. Maybe they're in your life today because it can be part of your soul group. But we understand the significant experiences in that life, you know, the happiest times, the saddest times. And we look at those experiences then in a past life review. At the end, we go through the death process, which can sound really scary. It's actually a really beautiful, really liberating experience. And it's something that, until you've experienced it, I don't think anyone can actually understand how beautiful it is. But then when we're in that sort of interlife space, at the end of that past life, we do a past life review to understand all the wisdom, all the insights, all the learning from that life, how that's influencing us today. We can release any soul contracts that we've made. They are things like saying, I will never, and I've heard people say, you know, I will never be this wealthy again, because they were persecuted for being wealthy. I had a client that went back to being in prison in the French Revolution. And he was in prison basically for being wealthy, nothing else. So they made a commitment in that life that they would never be that wealthy again. Or it might be that you've taken a vow of poverty. You've been a monk in a past life and taken that vow of poverty. And we don't need those contracts in our life anymore. And we can just let those go and release them. So there's lots of different ways that we can do it. We can also bring gifts that we've rejected from past life. So if you were a healer in some way in a past life and rejected it, we can unlock those gifts and say, it's now safe to bring that ability, because it's still there. It's still in your energetic field, but we can then start to embrace and embody those in this life as well. So it's really, really interesting. And I could talk for hours about it, because everybody's experiences are so different.
Oh my god, it sounds incredible. I'm sign me up. I think it sounds fascinating. So on the other side of that, like when you've done all that digging, uncovering, healing, all of that, whether it's past life, whether it's present life, what do you think is the most empowering, like what do people get on the other side of that? Like, what do you see in terms of results with people? How do they show up differently when you have done this incredible, powerful work?
So I think the biggest shift is knowing at a soul level that you are good enough just as you are. And that is really empowering. And the results that people get off the back of that, it's really the courage to take action and to do things that they've previously been resisting. I've had clients that have entered themselves into awards straight afterwards because suddenly they felt like they were worthy of it, whereas they've been putting it off because they didn't think, you know, it would apply to them. Income increases, signing up new clients. I know one of my clients signed up her very first paying clients. She'd been in business for over 6 months and hadn't had any paying clients. And within 48 hours of starting to work with me, she'd signed up £2,000 of clients. So it really varies from person to person. Some people find it gives them the courage to take the next step. I know one of my clients was a healer, but really wanted to expand her business and take it to the next level by teaching. And it gave her the courage and the confidence that she'd got the ability to teach through what she'd experienced in previous lives and things. So yeah, it really does. There's so many different ways it can benefit you, but I think it's just that feeling that you're safe to be yourself. You are good enough just as you are, and it's safe to have a voice. And I mean, it doesn't always just impact your business. I know one of my clients said that she fell in love with her husband all over again. It improved relationship with children. I've had other clients that have had the opposite effect, where it's given them the courage to leave a marriage where they weren't happy. So yeah, everybody's results are very, very different, but it's just an honor to be able to witness what they go through and to help them on that journey, because it's not me at the end of the day, it is them. I just give them the tools they need to make the changes. They're the one that actually does the work.
Yeah, so it's really just about coming back to who they are meant to be on in this lifetime, and like clearing the path, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It's just, it definitely feels to me like an unleashing of just being yourself and knowing that that's okay. And in fact, that's a lot more than okay.
And what about if someone is actually scared of that? Like, was scared of what is on the other side, and what, like, they're like, there's almost a sense of nervousness about what if it is a change that, you know, on a human mind level, like, I don't want that change. You know, you said about leaving a marriage, you know, like, what if someone hears that and it's like, oh my God, I don't want to do this, because what if it does highlight that? Like, how do you support someone that's actually scared of like what could be possible, and they're like almost fearing being their most aligned self?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So I think it's about saying that, you know, you're not just going to decide that you're going to leave your partner just because you've done it. That was about the person finding the right route for themselves, and it is unique to everybody. I think it's just about saying, well, you know, it's the vision part of, so I've got a 7-pillar framework that's called the Believe Blueprint, and part of that is vision and visibility. So we'll start to look at, what are their deepest dreams? What are the things that they really want the courage to do? It's not about creating something that they don't want in any way. And I remember having that exact fear when I started my personal development journey. You know, would it mean that I wasn't in love with my partner anymore? And I'm pleased to say, you know, since then we've gone on and got married and are very happy. But I recognized that that was something that I wanted. It was in my vision, was for us to do that. So it is just about saying, what is it that you actually want, and helping them find those things that they might not even be aware of that they want, helping them uncover those. But if you don't want something, there's no guarantees that it's going to happen to you. So it's about shaping what you want into the way that you want it, and how that's going to feel to you.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I feel like we could talk about lots of things, but I think there's been so many nuggets of wisdom in that. I would love to just wrap up our conversation. Something that's really important to me is how we as heart workers, how we as people working in like this more soul-led way of business, how we support ourselves and our own energy and keep ourselves replenished and able to hold space for others. Do you have any non-negotiables in your own Soulful Self-Care Kit? Do you have any support or anything you could share with others that would help them keep their energy the most aligned version that it can be?
Yeah, this is something that I definitely need to do more of myself. I think we can always do more. I am very good at overgiving and ending up very, very tired and trying not to burn out. But the things for me that are non-negotiable is recognizing your energy and being able to create time for yourself. So yesterday, for example, I was really tired. I had a few calls and events in the diary, but I then blocked out the rest of the time so I could take time just for me. And it was literally as simple as laying on the sofa and watching TV. I was too tired to even read a book, but recognizing that that's okay. In the past, I wouldn't have allowed myself to do that. Another one for me is about grounding. So before a client session, particularly, I like to be out on the grass barefoot, just 10, 15 minutes beforehand, just calling my higher self to engage with my client's higher self. And that sense of being connected to this life and being on the earth, I think is really, really important, because at the end of the day, even though we are spiritual beings, we're here to have a human experience. And we are, you know, I am very passionate about the spiritual and the woo-woo, but I recognize that I'm here on this earth at this time because I chose to be. And we've got to recognize that we are human and there are challenges that come along with that. And that's okay. That's actually why we elected to come here.
To learn. Yeah. Being human and to evolve our souls.
Yeah, exactly. We choose to incarnate at this time for a reason. So it's about being compassionate to ourselves about that.
I love that. And I feel very much like, for me, my whole soul mission is to just to be love, to like return to that over and over again. And I, you know, in this lifetime, I know I'm given opportunity after opportunity to keep anchoring back to that, to keep coming back to love. I am love. Like that's the mantra I use. That's the Sankalpa I use when I'm doing yoga nidras. I am love. Like that is my purpose. And as you know, every experience is about, you know, I'm not saying I nail it every time, because sometimes I deviate off on strange paths and, you know, I come away from feeling like I am love, but then it's always like returning back to that. And I think anything that you can do to bring you back to that is really powerful.
Yeah, that's my life lesson as well. I was so angry the first time I found that out in a meditation. It was like, come on, give me something that's much more obvious. You know, I'm here to be a teacher or an adventurer or something that I could understand, but love, I'm here just to be love or to learn love. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So actually, since I let that go, the journey of discovering that is so rewarding.
And you can see it and find it everywhere. You're a manifesting generator as well, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I recognize that in you. Yeah, and I think as a manifesting generator, that is one of our big lessons often, isn't it? Is to not rule with the head and come back to the heart.
Yeah. It's that going back to those signs that we were talking about earlier, that tug.
That is exactly it, that tug. I love that. Oh, this has been such a beautiful conversation. I have got so much out of it, and I'm sure anyone listening has as well. Can you just share how people can connect with you, or if you've got anything coming up that you want to share?
So usually I can be found in my Facebook group, which is the Soulful Confidence Collective, or you can find me on Facebook as Helen Hardware. My website is helenhardware.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It has been such an honor to share space with you today. Thank you so much, Helen. And I will look forward to receiving any conversation from anyone that wants to speak about this more. I'm sure that if you get in touch with Helen, she would be very happy to chat more about anything that may have sparked your interest. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heartwork Podcast. It is really, truly an honor to share each episode with you. So I really just want to express my gratitude for you being here. I really hope that this episode with Helen has helped you to make sense of perhaps some patterns and given you some inspiration or some reflective points that you can consider
for your onward journey. Do reach out to Helen if she has sparked something within you. And if there's something that you would like to discuss with me, then I love receiving emails from people. If something has come up, if you feel called to share something, please, please do drop me an email, lauren@laurenbarber.co. You can also find out more about what's going on for me on my website, laurenbarber.co, including finding out a little bit more about the offerings that I'm currently running, including being part of the Heartwork community. And this is a beautiful sacred space for others on this journey who are really craving that connection with other like-minded souls as we navigate this sense of new ways of doing business in this heart-centered, soul-led leadership sense. It's £19 a month currently, and it includes co-working sessions together, it includes mastermind, it includes oracle card circles, and a really beautiful community on Mighty Networks away from social media that gives us a space to keep in touch with each other as we progress along our journey. It's already just lighting me up so much, this community, so if you feel called to be part of it, then do check out all the details on my website. And lastly, I would be so grateful if you would share this podcast episode with anybody that you think it might resonate with. If you could review, if you could subscribe, absolutely anything to help me ensure that this gets out into the world as much as possible, because I do truly believe that we can really change things by questioning and looking at new ways of doing things. So for now, that's all, and I look forward to chatting to you on the next episode.